good now, right now, wherever and whenever you are. Let's get on with it because we're kind of running late. And I got to be respectful of your time, as the saying goes. You know the headline, so let's just roll the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome to the 365 Message Center Show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed. It's rolling off the tongue, and it should, man, because like we've had it as our logo for how many months now?
quite a few months, and we've been doing this show for a while, Daryl. So this is finally, after what, more than 2 years, got it down pat. It's wonderful.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just about 3 years, mate. Just about. But anyway, it's 134 episodes. Right. We can't beat around the bush. There's a lot to cover. There's also some kind of procedural stuff there. I know that I didn't drop everything into the session description. I keep calling them sessions.
No, you didn't. I know. It's an episode, Daryl. You're too hung up on your the current conference that's going on across the world live, and you're doing a session, and so you're all caught up on that and calling it a session. This is an episode, Daryl.
I'm having an episode.
Well, you are having an episode, so let's dive into it.
All right. And get that first message. Well, what have you got first?
I have organization switcher up first. This is, let me get the number for us here. This is MC204620. This is new feature, new organization switcher for partners of record in the Azure B2B admin. So this is really allowing for those of you that have the ability to switch organizations and being able to, you're the partner of record for organizations to be, if you're a partner record, that means you're able to log in and create tickets on behalf of an organization and help them do some things with their tenant. But being able to, this is definitely for a specific set of, I don't know if this is should be targeted or not.
Oh, but, totally should be targeted.
Yeah. And if you're using, but also if you're using Azure B2B, so there's definitely some room here. It's not just partners, which consulting firms and such, it's also for customers who have enabled Azure B2B. So being able to just switch, this is not a huge announcement, but this is a good thing, because if you've done this, we talk about organization switching a lot, don't we, Daryl, with like teams and that, but being able to switch so that you can, before it was you had to go down and go through a navigate or through several links of navigation to try to figure out where you should be at to be able to do this. So being able to switch easily with a nice link at the top left to be able to switch that, I think is great.
Yeah, well, anything helps. Like it actually kind of looks similar to, it's interesting the iconography that starts to get a theme and a culture. You know, you can go in other places and that same iconography of the two arrows switching is a switcher, right? It's not the cycle thing, which looks like a sink. But yeah, very good. Let's keep it moving. Updated feature publishing commands added to Pages Library. That's MC204627. And this is a welcome addition to being able to see if a page is published and not necessarily having to get into the publish, into the page rather.
Into the page, yeah.
Yeah.
This is, in fact, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, at a glance, it's if you are responsible for a large intranet or even a medium-sized intranet, heck, even a small one, it's good to be able to look through and say, well, what are those articles that have been published, those pages that are actually available?
It's nice because I was just dealing with a client this past week that had this issue of, I need to be able to publish a page, and they were going in and editing the page, and where's the publish? And that's not how you do it with the way it was set up. You have to go to the page, but then have the ribbon show up and then do it that way. Anyway, this, being able to just be in the library and selecting and doing the publishing, I think is great. Just like you said, we have moved from this list items for announcements and news into the modern is now mentality. If you're wondering why I'm laughing, go watch the episode or listen to the episode before this, 133. So modern is now, and it having those are now pages. And so being able to manage, there's going to be a lot of pages in any intranet eventually. And so being able to see which ones are published, which ones are not, and then be able to take action on it. So those, not just be able to click the button to say publish, but actually see the icons to see which ones are not. I'm loving it.
The message center message does give a tiny little hint. Like if you're, is that mouse hovering? No, it doesn't come through. I didn't select that. Just below item number 2 in that list of the message, you've got a tiny little icon with a little yellow, you know, little bookie thingy open saying publish. Yes, so that's the thing you want to look for. Publish, republish.
It's the unpublished changes. If the page has changes and they're unpublished. Going to see that icon.
Yep. So that next graphic there, we can see that it's also checked out. Red arrow checked out, unpublished.
Exactly. So remember we talked about this. It was sometime last year where we're having these new icons giving us indications on pages, what's going on in lists and libraries. And so yes, we're going to be able to see, of course, because we've got those indicators of what's going on with the file. Is it checked out? But also does it have changes that have been unpublished? Awesome.
Visual cues. Next message is a regular. Actually, I don't know if we've seen it for a while. It's almost like they forgot to do it for a while. But we should see this message each month to say that a new round of updates has come out to Office Pro Plus and click on through to the release notes if you want to see them. And just as a brief salute to the release notes, this is the page where if you just keep an eye on it, and you can see what has changed over the last few versions. So do visit this occasionally. And if your reminder is this message in the message center, which by the way was MC204751, then yeah.
This is just going to have to grow on me because we haven't seen this in a really long time. I don't know that we've seen it ever. We've seen an announcement on that they're going to release, and it was a semi-annual channel, but I don't know if we've seen these. But yeah, I'm going to see these every month. And okay, for me, I'm like, oh, wow, that's a little too much. But then you're right. If they have a link to the release notes to be able to take action on that, I can see the value in that. So.
Yeah, well, it has been published a few times, but it has been inconsistent. We do need to see this. We've released some updates to the Pro Plus monthly channel, so we expect to see this each month. It says starting February 25th. When was the published date? 26th. So if this message is going to be useful, it needs to come out at least a few days ahead so we know what's coming, right? Yeah.
Yes,
because you know this is landing on people's desktops, and you're you know learning about it in the message center. Good to see it. Some improvements to be made. Mm-hmm. We probably need to get some of those rating cards. You know when people do a dive and they go 4, 7. Yeah. No, too much splash, sorry.
Do you have enough buttons on your Stream Deck to be able to and it pop up a 1?
Well, I've been meaning to take a look at some of that animation sort of stuff and, you know, get some fun.
Actually, I have
the screen.
I have an extra Stream Deck around here somewhere. I could set that up to be able to, you know, be fine.
Definitely. We do see a few messages like this now where basic authentication retirement updated info, MC204828, where it's reminding you that, hey, that the time is approaching when it's something this significant. I equate this to when maybe there's a certificate change, and if you don't get on top of this change before it needs to happen, the roll-on effect of things breaking is significant, right? So this is why we get so much warning. This is why we continually get reminders. This doesn't actually happen until the 13th of October this year, 2020. But do start to look at all your systems that are using basic authentication across Office 365, and particularly accessing Exchange Online. Make sure that you get onto it, because we need to lift our security levels. That's about it for that one.
Yep.
New features, advanced threat protection, campaign views.
Which is funny. This one is funny for me, everybody. And let me sit down. Let's have a fireside chat and talk about why this one is funny to me. Not funny, but it's, I guess, timely is the right word. Because I got an email this morning from my organization saying, oh, by the way, we ran a phishing campaign. And here's how many people clicked the link. You naughty, naughty people.
Are you dropping your organization into this?
And it was, you know, oh, by the way, you know, this is what's happened. You naughty people. And so we're going to start doing some training. So I actually look at the percentages from our organization and I'm like, that's actually a low percentage. I'm actually proud of the organization for that many. That low of a percentage actually clicked the link in the phishing campaign. I'm actually good on them. I hope I wasn't one that clicked on it, because I don't remember getting the message. Maybe I just, you know, went through and clicked the button, because I definitely didn't click the link and it go, you naughty, naughty person. You're not supposed to click on that.
It needs to blow confetti across your screen.
Right. Poof, you get
and into your keyboard, or glitter all over you, so that when you go through the office,
it's like a dye pack.
Yeah,
you know, when people rob a bank in it. Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway. Look at you. You're the guy that clicked the link all day.
Right. All day long. I'm excited about this, because I'm all about getting data to people and understanding what's going on. So, being able to see this. Campaign views. I think we've mentioned this before, but having these campaign views to where you can see what's going on in this via, you know, this graphics, and really kind of tell in pretty much real time of what's going on. I'm a huge fan of this. So definitely check this out. The Advanced Threat Protection Campaign Views.
Yeah, I was just trying to get a larger view of that, but it's still blurry. But yeah, real time, blocked, delivered to junk, the type, phishing, inboxed, click through rate. Oh my goodness. Right, so it's super blurry, but you get the idea. The campaign is the way to check out how people are responding to that. We didn't say the message number, so MC204907. I know, shocking. Okay. Hey, another one that you should be aware of, and this is interesting. New default background image for Microsoft 365 and Azure AD login screens, MC204985, where we've had Santa Monica Boulevard, we had this beautiful view of the hills of somewhere, and now we're going to something which...
I don't know what this is. I do know what it is. It's the Microsoft logo with an
Gaussian
opaque...
blur 99. Yeah, blur.
Yes, it is blurred and with opaque. You know, so at first I looked at it and went, "What just happened?" And you know, with the colors, what is this? And then I was like, "Wait a minute! Oh, it's the Microsoft squares with the colors." But it's very boring, and I don't know if
I think that's the point though.
I guess I think it is the point to keep from distracting, but maybe they're going to change this. I've talked about on the show of having a customer who changes images in emails, right, to make sure that it's an authentic email you're receiving. So maybe is this something we're going to see more often? Is Microsoft changing the background image to make, you know, to kind of say, okay, now we have a new one. Make sure you're seeing this new one until the Fishers.
Yeah.
The fishers of emails, instead of fishers of men, fishers of emails catch up and use that background. I don't know.
Well, the main driver is this reducing the bandwidth. That's really it, is to simplify it, to make sure that things load a lot faster. But then we're all guided towards, for secure purposes, you as an organization should put in a custom image so that people can recognize it and they know that it's not a phishing attempt, and change it regularly. So you go back to whatever you are using and increasing the bandwidth. At least the default's good.
Yeah, I think the default's good. This also brings to mind, there was some conversation on Twitter this week that's slightly related, very much almost not related to this, but that Microsoft, when you send an email to someone at Microsoft, do you know what it does to that email? It doesn't, you know, they have technology that can tag emails for phishing, for attacks, and putting labels on it saying this is external. But do you know what they actually do? They take the subject and then they put external in the front of the subject.
Wow.
Yep. Old school. So when they reply back to you, the subject is now changed to external, whatever. And now, and then if you keep replying back, sometimes it adds external. Anyway.
Do you think it does it for everyone or just for the offenders who've made a mistake in the past? Oh, yeah. It's like the glitter, except for Microsoft.
Yes. So anyway, I think do as Microsoft says. Sometimes you can't do what they do because it's, you know, they're not caught up yet with the technology. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, that warning will come through on your mobile as well. So it's just also making sure that it's available across the board.
Anyway, sorry, I really got us off on a string there. Sorry about that.
It was fun, though. It was fun. New feature, assign policies to a batch of users or a user group. Looking at the title, so you do have to read the message, MC204727, specifically around Microsoft Teams administration. Sorry, terrible accent. I've been watching something with a Scottish. Yeah, I know. It's about trying to make it easier for you as an admin to assign policies to lots and lots of people at the same time instead of one at a time. That's about all we can say about that. It's a Teams PowerShell module, now supports the ability to assign those policies to batches of users. Becomes quite important around some of the features that you need to enable and disable within Teams. Maybe you're taking an approach where you're just introducing meetings and chat to begin with, and you want to deal with the collaborative side of Teams a little further down the track. So a policy like this, you can turn off certain apps along the board, or if you've got an org app that you're attaching to the sidebar, the app bar on the left, then that becomes quite useful as well. Yes, Stephen. That's what all Teams admins sound like. They all have terrible Scottish accents. And my apologies.
Wow.
There.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Huge generalization. Well, I mean, you know, it's a bit like you call out and you say, "Scotty, can you give me more power?" And what does Scotty say? Come on, you got to try it. Come on, Daniel, give us your best Scottish accent.
I will not have HR.
I can't do it, Captain. I haven't got the power.
Great. Okay. Now, someone had to regarding 365, HR is going to be calling you. It's going to be a whole thing. We're going to have to issue a retraction. Yeah. Oh, man.
We have got the power. That's actually the truth of it. What's this one about, this next one, managing unhealthy links?
This is, I think, a great enhancement, and I'll tell you why. But this is MC205044, managing unhealthy sharing links in SharePoint and OneDrive. This is really when you're going about creating these links for sharing and giving access, whether, you know, some people like to, it depends on what the workload is, whether you create a link, a sharing link, or you share individually with users. But when you're using a link, sometimes they become unhealthy, which is the links no longer grant access to the files that were originally shared. So the sharing becomes broken, and
that's
so,
the word I recognize.
Yes,
know. It's back so, from your granddaddy's day of talking about links and that don't work. Yes. They're called broken, not unhealthy. Right. I mean, what is this PC stuff?
So they're broken, and that link cannot be used to access that content anymore. Well, we really didn't know it didn't show up. When you go to the manage access pane for that item, it didn't really give you any indication that that link was broken. Now we are getting an indication, as the screenshot shows, that in the message center, that you'll see in red text, this link is broken, delete it and share the item again. So I think this is clear enough for the user to understand that there's something wrong. Now, the problem with this is, and I don't have a solution right now, but the problem is, how do you know who you've shared that link with? Because you may have 10 links here that you've shared with different people or different avenues of sharing this link. Now it's broken. I need to create a new one. Who do I tell? I don't think you'll have 10. I think you'll have, I think you'll just have two, maybe. One with like edit and one with not. Maybe you'll have one with edit, one with not, one expire. Anyway, you could have multiples, and that's kind of where it gets tricky, I think. But at least give an indication that it's broken.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, we need our information to continue to point to where we intend it to. If links are broken, they're no fun. But I do think that they've made a lot of advancements around if you're moving some content to a different place in a team, for example, the link still works. Brilliant. Now, otherwise, there'd be a lot more broken stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of broken stuff.
Broken stuff. Well, I was just frantically searching for something that you got active on here.
Yes.
So I've got it ready to show, but this message, what is it about?
This message titled MC204830 Teams Twitter Connector has been retired. This, you're right. I posted on Twitter, which is, I think, fitting. Talking about a Twitter connector being, anyway, it is about removing the ability for Teams directly to link up with Twitter to access and get feed from a specific person or a specific hashtag. There were a couple of things that I felt like were wrong with this. One was, in talking with people initially about it, I started getting feedback of, wait a minute, I actually use this. And the message is, we retired the Twitter connector from Teams on February 21st, 2020, and the announcement was made on February 26th, 2020. So 5 days later, they were, oh, by the way, we turned this off. The one thing that I'm
You were wondering why this was broken? Oh.
Right. The one thing that I do want to mention here is, I think this has been updated, because this message used to say, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it used to say that according to their telemetry, no one was using it. And so that's what got me, thrown a bit.
I remember it saying that. Yes.
Was people going, wait a minute, I actually do use this. Yeah. So
do I have a look at that?
Yes, please.
So I've got your tweet there with your poll.
Yes.
So how many voted? So we've got 71 votes. It's usual modest kind of anyone who's on Twitter will answer or not kind of poll, but good responses there. Do you actively use it? 63% say no, 36% say yes, but it's still people using it. Yeah. And what was the most popular way that people use bringing a tweet into Teams or a channel? What's the purpose?
The biggest example, or the most common example, was watching the Microsoft 365 status Twitter account and bringing those status updates in.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, the other one, if you're using Teams for bringing a marketing team together and you want to bring in
a
specific tweet or hashtag or something, you're able to respond and think as a team, how are we going to get back to this tweet.
Well, I think the people that responded, a lot of them were admin centric. So a lot of them said, hey, I use this to keep, bring in those tweets about status, and so we could take action. And I think it's a great idea. Now, this is,
I just that image that you said where it used to say telemetry indicates, that was in the first tweet of your thread. Yeah. So it is there. It used to say that. We've revised it. Actually, people did use it, but we've had to remove those.
So they looked at my tweet and said, oh, well, maybe people did use it. So we'll just take that little bit out of the message and move right along. I think that for me, this is, it really kind of threw me for a loop here because number one, this wasn't a next day thing. This was a, 5 days ago we did this. I will say that now Sandy in the chat says it's still working this morning. I also got an update from who sent me that update? Sebastian said also that his was still working after this message was posted. So maybe they haven't retired it just yet, or maybe if you have them existing, they're giving you a little, I don't know. But the replacement, everybody, you've come here not to just hear my soapbox, but you've come here to understand what should we do. You know, there's talking about using Power Automate, you know, create a flow to manage this. Okay, great. But, you know, that seems like to me you're replacing something that's free with something that potentially could not be free. It seems like people are using it. Was it in a majority? Well, according to my highly scientific poll, no, it wasn't a majority, but it was at least one third of people were using it. And so that means that's true for, no, it wasn't highly scientific, but it's one third of the people that responded said they were using it. And I was being poignant about, hey, are you actually using this rather than just testing? So that was my point of the poll. But anyway, that's what it is. It may still be working for you, but you need to come up with a solution if it is business critical for you.
We saw this same thing happen with the Facebook connector, and I started thinking, is this some kind of service platform brand wars thing? But they gave the same advice: go use Power Automate to create the feature or function to replace this. So maybe it is a switch to user pays for this particular function, which would then suggest the opposite, that lots of people are using this and it's costing us money, so we want you to pay for the usage of this. Anyway, on with the show. This one's our headline. New feature: SharePoint pages, lists, tabs allow users to paste URL to tab SharePoint content in Teams channels. Blah, blah, blah. Bit of a mouthful again. Wow. You got to look into the detail to understand what that means. It's MC204986. And when I looked into the detail, I was delightfully surprised. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I can't read your mind, but I was surprised too and delighted in that it really, we've been centric on this whole, well, you're in a channel in Teams and, you know, adding the SharePoint site to it and the way it works, while it's good, it's not, for me, it's not great, especially if you're trying to, you want to bring in other sites, and it's just, it could be kind of difficult on how to figure out how to do that. And being able to just, here's the URL, paste it in there, done, like not having to deal with all the rest.
But wasn't the main sort of restriction too, that with the SharePoint app for Teams, what you could add as a tab was lists and libraries that were part of other sites. They were a little less functional, but in terms of pages, you were restricted to the team that was part of your team. Sorry, the team site that was part of your team. You couldn't bring in a page from your communication sites saying to the org, "Hey, da 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 da," or you couldn't bring in your leadership connection page or something else. So this is what I'm delightfully surprised to see, that you've now, if you're trying to communicate and create a place in your team that is one channel and place to go to catch up with org news and engage with people, you don't have to leave your team, but you kind of are through the beautiful window of a tab to that page. I know we're short on time, but I mean, that's one that I am excited to hear and see about how people are going to use that. And I expect comms teams will be, roaring in the seats.
I agree with you. And I'm excited to see what people use this for. And I'm really excited about I don't, you know, how can we use this functionality? And I'd like to see a little more automated. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to say, I want to pin a tab to every channel pointing to this page for my whole organization? Because I want it, it's something open enrollment announcement. I want to put it, pin it to every tab and then be able to retract it when we're done. I don't know. I'm just saying that would be awesome.
It's a topic I've been meaning to cover in a blog post or something, but I think it'll make a good regarding 365 discussion. If what are some tabs that every team needs or every channel needs? Yeah, so if we put that out there, I'm sure that's going to be one of them. Bringing org news into your team. Last message, poll added to Outlook, new feature, MC205124. Has been an app for some time. Now it's going to be just a standardized feature that you can create a poll within Outlook. Let's see, yeah, is it Outlook? It's
Which
just,
is,
yeah.
yeah. So this one, this is the one that confused me, and I went on Twitter. Not confused me. I just was like, so this whole idea of Outlook on the web, parentheses desktop. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Out, it's not Outlook on the web tablet. Like, what? I don't understand. So anyway, it's for Outlook for Mac, Outlook for Windows, which
Oh,
is
yeah.
what we would call Outlook, you know, what you install as part of Office Pro
Yep,
Plus,
yep.
and Outlook on the web, which is when you go to the browser and get it desktop.
Well, no, they have to distinguish now because it was a few weeks ago they said, hey, check it out. We have upgraded Outlook on the web for your mobile. Remember that? Oh, no, I mean, that's
Yes, I
awesome. You can
do,
swipe things and stuff, but you can't do it
I agree with you.
there.
It, but this idea, there's something in between called a tablet that is not a desktop, but will act like a desktop. Anyway, I just, this naming is just squirrely. And we talk about,
Nomenclature.
we talk about consistency, right? I don't want Outlook on the web and Outlook on the mobile, Outlook on the web desktop and Outlook on the web mobile to be different. I want it to be exactly the same. It should, no matter what device I connect to,
You
it should
mean
be
you
exactly
want
the
to
same.
pinch zoom into the full like page of
And I want them all to be the same. So Outlook on the Mac, Outlook for Windows, I want it to all be the same, but at least get the Outlook on the web the same. I mean, come on, people.
Nah, you do have to
Anyway,
adjust the size. You'd have to adjust the size. But
I
anyway,
just the size,
this.
but I get it. But for this announcement, poll added, it's fantastic. Not having to add, you know, put an add on, you know, to install. I think it's fantastic because there's so many times when we have to do a poll for the people where, hey, you know, it's not just a find time. It's also polling of getting, trying to figure out what we should be doing for a meeting or whatever. So having this built in, I think, is a great feature.
Definitely. So come to the end of our fun for now. There's the 365 message shown so for today. Thanks to everyone who joined us and was active in the chat. It's been awesome. So that's episode 134. Do join us again next week when we cover whatever it lands in the message center. We'll roll the outro and catch you again. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.